Good morning. This is Dallas Townsend with a CBS World News Roundup. United States tariffs on light pickup trucks imported from Japan went up today from 4% to 25%. And that action caused outrage in Tokyo, reported by Bruce Dunning.
Accusing the Carter administration of betrayal, Japan's largest auto builder declared it would fight the administration's six-fold increase in tariffs on partly assembled light trucks. Toyota has been shipping the nearly completed small trucks to the United States, where American-made truck beds are attached to finish the assembly process. Until now, these nearly completed trucks were shipped as truck parts, subject to a 4% tariff. But the American auto industry has called this an intentional evasion of higher tariffs on completed trucks. The administration has now reclassified these trucks as finished vehicles, subject to a 25% tariff. Toyota called this highly unreasonable and legally unsatisfactory. A Toyota executive said the company would sue in U.S. customs courts to overturn the decision. Toyota said the tariff increase would drastically increase retail prices for its light trucks and thus would add to U.S. inflation. The Toyota statement also warned that the company might have to close the Long Beach, California factory where the trucks are completed. The factory employs 1,000 workers who turn out 10,000 trucks a month. Bruce Dunning, CBS News, Tokyo.
Far south of Tokyo, a Soviet nuclear submarine caught on fire today near Okinawa. Japanese authorities report at least 9 crewmen were killed, 3 injured. About 55 crewmen were transferred to a Soviet rescue ship. Republican vice presidential candidate George Bush, now in Peking, has gotten a cool reception there so far, and Peter Collins reports from Hong Kong that Bush heard directly today from a senior official that China does not like Ronald Reagan's stand on Taiwan.
Foreign Minister Huang Hua opened a meeting with Bush by reading a statement in front of reporters, saying that what he called retrogressive remarks about Chinese-American relations could harm ties between Peking and Washington. The session was then closed and continued for 4.5 hours. After it was over, Bush canceled a briefing for newsmen. An aide would say only that such a briefing would be inappropriate. He denied there were complications in the talks. The Chinese have made it plain they are upset about Reagan's suggestion that the U.S. could have official links with Taiwan while improving relations with Peking. Chinese news media have virtually ignored the Bush visit, although they have quoted an American newspaper editorial saying that Reagan's remarks on Taiwan appeared to represent either lack of understanding or lack of proper briefing, despite all the previous discussion of the issue. Peter Collins, CBS News, Hong Kong.
Bush is now in the second day of his unofficial visit to Peking. As it has done for a week now, anti-government labor unrest is getting more intense in Poland. Strikes are spreading, and Mary Wisniewski reports that the communist government's patience is wearing thin.
The first official crackdown came last night when 14 well-known dissidents who had been acting as the main Warsaw spokesman for the strikers were rounded up by police. It's expected they will be held for at least 48 hours. And the official Polish media has begun an all-out campaign to break the strikes, even enlisting the aid of the church. On last night's main television news program, a member of parliament read excerpts from a homily by Cardinal Stefan Wyszynski. "I want to remind the nation," said the cardinal, "that what is necessary is calm. Work honestly with a feeling of responsibility." The aging cardinal is a fierce opponent of the communist regime, and the appeal to Poland's Catholics showed how far the government is willing to go to end the strikes. Meanwhile, the dance situation is at an impasse. The strike committee won't split up, and officials will only talk to individual factories. Strikers further refuse to drop their political demands, and that's one point the government won't even discuss. Mary Wisniewski for CBS News, Warsaw.
In the industrial port city of Szczecin on the East German border, the mayor reports normal family life is disorganized, public transport is not operating, normal functioning of hospitals, shops, and fundamental services has all been disrupted. People are buying food, he says, in vast quantities. And the Warsaw government has removed Deputy Premier Tadeusz Pika from the chairmanship of a government commission set up to negotiate with the strikers. He was replaced by another deputy premier. Warsaw Radio gives no reason for the change. The United Nations Security Council late yesterday censured Israel for the 9th time this year. The council denounced Israel's proclamation of all of Jerusalem as its national capital and called on all countries with embassies in Jerusalem to withdraw them. The vote was 14-0 with the United States abstaining. Secretary of State Muskie interrupted his vacation in Maine to head the U.S. delegation. Richard C. Hotlett reports that the storm of rhetoric that ended the debate left the real consequences unclear.
The United States tried to mollify both Israel and the Muslims. Indications are it did neither. Secretary of State Muskie's gesture to Israel was a stinging rebuke of the United Nations. The succession of debates and resolutions this year, he said, pilloried Israel for action against the Arabs without taking account of the balance on which peace must rest, a balance which includes Israel's right to security. But despite Israel's ardent wish for an American veto, the U.S. simply abstained, letting the council go on record with a unanimous denunciation of Israel's Jerusalem policy and a call for the withdrawal of foreign embassies from the city. At the same time, Muskie emphasized Washington's determination to go ahead with the Camp David process, which just about everyone other than the U.S. and Israel considered defunct. Egypt today bitterly reproached Israel for, quote, fanatical claims and denial of the rights of man, unquote. Ambassador Yehuda Blum made it clear the resolution will not alter Israel's stand on Jerusalem. And the Arabs said, wait until November 15th when the council will take up Jerusalem again. Richard C. Hottle at CBS News, United Nations.
Now the official Israeli reaction to those events in the Security Council, reported from Tel Aviv by Bob Simon.
Rejected the Security Council resolution this morning, calling it unjust, one-sided, and an incitement to extremism, blackmail, and war. A foreign ministry statement said the resolution will not undermine the status of Jerusalem as the sovereign capital of Israel, as a city which will never be divided again. Government sources, however, admitted that they now expect all the embassies remaining in Jerusalem to move out. Chile has just joined Venezuela, Uruguay, and Ecuador in announcing a move to Tel Aviv that leaves eight Latin American countries and the Netherlands with embassies in Jerusalem. The foreign ministry statement expressed special disappointment at what it called the many great free countries which lent a hand to this resolution. To emphasize this point, Israel's foreign minister, Itzhak Shamir, summoned U.S. Ambassador Samuel Lewis to Jerusalem this morning to protest the American abstention. Bob Simon, CBS News, Tel Aviv.
Reports from Beirut say Israeli and rightist militia artillery shelled southern Lebanon again this morning, causing some civilian casualties and heavy damage. That attack followed a Palestinian guerrilla rocket assault on settlements in northern Israel during the night. The Israelis report some damage, but no casualties. Billy Carter testifies today before the special Senate panel investigating his connections with the government of Libya. Fred Graham has the story.
Billy Carter is expected to give essentially the same explanation that his associates have told the senators in earlier testimony, that he invited the Libyans to Georgia as an expression of Southern hospitality, and that the public reaction against that ruined his lecture business and left him financially desperate, that the Libyans, out of gratitude, offered him a $500,000 loan and the opportunity to sell some Libyan oil in the United States, and that he never offered to try to influence U.S. policy toward Libya. The senators are expected to bore in on the same points they have stressed so far. Why did the Libyans favor Billy Carter with such financial advantages? Why was so much done in secret? Why did Billy ignore a State Department warning that the Libyans might try to use him? Wasn't Billy, after all, trying to profit from his relationship to the president at the risk of giving credibility to a nation that is often at odds with the United States? A packed house is expected for Billy's testimony in the Senate caucus room. Fred Graham, CBS News on Capitol Hill.
Billy Carter's brother is flying to Boston this morning to address the National Convention of the American Legion. Among the officials greeting him when he arrives in Boston will be Senator Kennedy, but the meeting will be brief. A longer one is expected at the White House next week. A tanker ship rammed an unmanned oil rig in the Gulf of Mexico this morning and caught on fire. At least one crewman was injured. All were rescued. Two 18-year-old youths were shot and killed last night while jogging across a well-lighted intersection in Salt Lake City. Authorities say they were probably the victims of a well-prepared ambush by an expert marksman. No one has yet been arrested. Gold opened higher in Europe today. It was fixed in London at $640.50 an ounce, up from $635. The dollar is holding firm.
CBS News. President Carter speaks to the American Legion in Boston. Good morning. This is Reed Collins reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The arrival was as closely watched as the speech. Correspondent Jed Duvall has details in Boston.
President Carter came off a plane, and there at the foot of the ramp was Senator Edward Kennedy. They worked together through a small crowd of notables, sharing in the smiling and handshaking. It looked like teamwork and sounded that way, too, in the warm words that followed.
It's a pleasure to welcome Jimmy Carter to Boston, Massachusetts, as the President of the United States and also as the nominee of the Democratic Party.
the president was simply beaming.
I have confidence that we will win together. And one of the major factors that gives me that confidence is the assurance that Senator Kennedy and all those Americans who supported him during the primary and caucus season will be on my side, helping me to lead the Democratic Party to a great victory.
And then they were both off for speeches. The president here in Boston, Kennedy to Detroit. Jed Duval, CBS News at Logan Airport.
In his American Legion speech this morning, President Carter says it would be irresponsible to start a nuclear arms race with the Russians, but he said the United States could win such a race. Mr. Carter does not mention Ronald Reagan by name in the prepared text of his speech, but he appears to be answering Reagan's recent criticism of his defense policies. More news after this.
When it comes to caring for your car, experience really can be the best teacher. After a while, you come to know the people and the products that you really can depend on. That may be why, over the years, so many people have come to know and trust the quality they find in that bright yellow can of Pennzoil motor oil. Pennzoil quality is quality people ask for year after year. For one thing, when you ask for Pennzoil, you don't have to worry about buying any extra oil additive for your car. That's because Pennzoil contains additive Z7. Z7 helps keep your engine clean. It helps prevent rust, corrosion, and oxidation. Yes, experience really can be the best teacher. Join the millions of people who've learned the value of asking for Pennzoil. They know from their experience that the motor oil in that bright yellow can gives them quality they can depend on year after year. Pennzoil. Ask for it.
A Soviet submarine caught fire in the Pacific off Okinawa today, and at least 9 crewmen were killed. The Japanese Maritime Agency warned other vessels to stay away on the theory the sub's nuclear reactor might be endangered, but there was no initial sign of radiation around the sub, which lay virtually adrift on the surface. The Russian sub commander refused to allow Japanese rescue officials to board his ship. Helicopters monitoring radiation in the area say there are about 50 sailors on the deck of the submarine waving flags. Billy Carter made a brief appearance before the Senate subcommittee looking into his relationship with Libya this morning. Fred Graham has more from Washington.
Billy Carter argued that he was a victim of the Libyan connection, not a profiteer or influence peddler. He said his friendship with the Libyans had ruined his lecture business and destroyed his finances. The Libyans offered a loan and oil commissions as a token of thanks, he said, and asked nothing in return. He said he never tried to influence his brother's policy toward Libya, but he said they did have brother-to-brother chats about that country. Billy said that to this day, he doesn't believe he should have been required to register as a foreign agent. He ended his prepared remarks on a personal note.
Mr. Chairman, I hope this testimony will show in common sense fashion that Billy Carter is not a buffoon, a boob, or a wacko, as some public figures have so described him. I am a common citizen with uncommon financial and family problems.
The senators will now question Billy Carter in a secret session, apparently about matters learned through secret intelligence sources. And then the public cross-examination of Billy Carter will begin. Fred Graham, CBS News on Capitol Hill.
More news after this.
Hi, Pat Summerall to tell you that when do-it-yourself projects demand precision, you should demand the tools designed to meet professional standards. Master Mechanic tools from True Value Hardware Stores. Like the 3/4-inch by 12-foot power tape measure for just $5.99. It features a lock that securely holds the epoxy-coated blade for accurate measuring, and the durable chrome Cycolac case wears for years. And because quality tools deserve good care, True Value Hardware Stores suggest you keep them in the Master Mechanic 19-inch flat-top toolbox with a divided tote tray for smaller tools and parts. This roomy all-steel toolbox is just $9.88. All Master Mechanic tools and accessories carry the promise of satisfaction or a free replacement. And you can get them only at participating True Value Hardware Stores and home centers. And save gas. You won't have to drive far for your hardware and houseware needs. If you're looking for value, service, and selection, you'll find them at any one of the more than 5,000 True Value Hardware Stores and home centers, and they're located nationwide.
A 565-foot tanker rammed the remains of an oil rig in the Gulf of Mexico this morning, and both burst into flame. 39 men on the ship scrambled for their lives, and they were rescued by boats in the vicinity. The tanker, the Texaco North Dakota, carries 2.5 million gallons of gasoline and oil. On Wall Street, after 1 hour of trading, the Dow Industrial Average is ahead. The index is up 4.01. That puts it at 949.32. The first hour volume, 12.75 million shares. Reed Collins, CBS News.
Newsbreak.
We did not receive radio. We did not receive radio. It was visual sighting of distress flare. Distress flare from the submarine.
A flare breaks the pre-dawn darkness in the Pacific off Okinawa, alerting Captain George Baker of the British tanker Gary there's a ship in trouble. He steams for the location and finds a Soviet nuclear submarine with fire below decks.
There's nothing visible from outside the submarine. We assume the fire is out.
The British captain can't see the fire, but there is, on the submarine's deck, evidence of its fury.
We have seen some bodies on the deck of the submarine, but I cannot give you the exact number.
9 dead was the later determination of casualties. 55 other Soviet crewmen were evacuated to a Soviet training ship, which arrived on scene some hours later. I'm Christopher Glenn, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. In a minute, we'll talk with correspondent Bruce Dunning in the CBS News Tokyo Bureau to piece out some details of a disaster at sea.
Hey, JR.
BG.
Great to see you. You're looking okay.
Belated happy birthday, BG. Sorry I couldn't RSVP. Had to run to D.C. on business.
Well, TGIF, you'll have a chance to catch some L.A. sun over the weekend.
Yeah, this traveling across the USA.
JR, what a 40th. Got some KMBs.
Hey, that's great. KMBs?
Kmart's best. Great briefs and tees.
KMBs. Well, you look great, BG.
Feel great, JR. 65% Codel polyester, 35% cotton. What a feel. What a fit.
Oh.
On the QT, Kmart's best. Feels better. Keeps its shape better than any underwear I've ever worn.
Kmart's best men's briefs and tees. For keep-in-shape comfort all day, a.m. to p.m. P.S. They're available at over 1,500 Kmart stores. At LKMP.
What?
Huh? Low Kmart prices.
Men's tee and V-neck shirts, 3 for just $4.97. Athletic shirts and briefs, 3 for just $3.97. Sale ends Saturday.
When fire crippled the Soviet nuclear submarine off Okinawa, the immediate concern of Japanese maritime officials was the possibility of radiation leaks. We asked correspondent Bruce Dunning in Tokyo what was done.
The Maritime Safety Agency issued a warning to ships in the area to stay away from that particular scene of the accident because of the possibility of contamination. They've sent out radiation monitoring equipment on helicopters and ships to check the area. So far, there have been no indications that there was any radiation leak.
The scene on the deck of the damaged sub was unusual after the disaster. Some crew members isolated from the rest, shrouded in ankle-length cloak-like garments.
Nobody seems to know exactly what that is. The entire crew was seen on the deck of the sub, or at least most of the crew, it is believed. And this one group in white coveralls or gowns was at one end of the sub's deck, and the rest of these were scattered along the other end. Whether they were people who were exposed to radiation or just what, that hasn't emerged.
The submarine's captain would not identify his vessel by name, would only describe it as based in Vladivostok and an Echo 1 class vessel, not the most modern sub in the Soviet fleet. What was it doing there so close to Japan?
The Soviet Navy is operating in these waters all the time. It's something that's bothering the Japanese very much right now. The Soviets are building up their Pacific fleet quite remarkably. This submarine was part of the fleet that's based at Vladivostok, and they are quite capable of cutting or interfering with the sea lanes between Japan and the Middle Eastern oil fields. Interestingly enough, this fleet apparently was operating just off Okinawa, and that's where two-thirds of all the American troops based in Japan are based.
But this morning, the international implications seem unimportant. What's left is international concern over human drama as old as sailors in the sea. Fire below, 9 dead. And now this.
I like pepperoni, but it doesn't like me.
Feel better fast with Digel.
With the ingredients in Digel, relief from acid indigestion and gas starts in less than a minute.
I like corned beef.
I like cabbage.
I like Frank's.
I like beans.
I like spaghetti.
And meatballs.
But they don't like me.
If you like something that doesn't like you, Digel relief starts in less than a minute. For occasional use only as directed.
Newsbreak, Thursday, August 21st, 1980.
I'm Christopher Glenn, CBS News.
CBS News. President Carter speaks of national defense, says it would be totally irresponsible to start an arms race with the Soviet Union. I'm Richard C. Hottolett reporting on the CBS Radio Network. President Carter this morning addressed the American Legion Convention in Boston, the last of the presidential contenders to speak to that forum. He, like Reagan and Anderson, emphasized the issue of military security. More from Jed Duval.
Mr. Carter stood before the American Legion in Boston and spoke of missiles and planes, ships and submarines, and the draft registration, and was applauded by the Legionnaires. And while the president, as a candidate 4 years ago, spoke of cutting defense spending, this was his view today.
Reversing a long downward trend in real defense expenditures above and beyond inflation, we have had real growth for the last 4 years, and we will continue this commitment during the years ahead. That is a promise that I make to you, and that is a promise that the Congress of the United States has also confirmed. We will not permit us to take a downward trend, as was the case during the 8 years before I became president.
This convention heard Ronald Reagan claim that the U.S. is number two to the Russians. Today it heard Mr. Carter deny that, claim military superiority for the U.S., and promise to keep it. Jed Duval, CBS News, Boston.
Mr. Carter's speech to the American Legion was a major political event, but it was not the only or necessarily the most important of the day for him. In coming to Boston, the president was also entering Kennedy territory. A question left over from the coolness at the Democratic Convention in New York was how he would be received. The answer was warmly. Senator Kennedy met Mr. Carter at the airport with applause, friendly words, and an unequivocal pledge of support. "I am confident he will be elected in November," said Kennedy, "and I am determined that he will be reelected as President of the United States," unquote. More news after this.
Auto, health, homeowners, and life. A State Farm agent offers all those kinds of insurance. But to earn your family insurance business, a State Farm agent knows you have to get all the personal service State Farm is famous for. So nobody works harder to see that you're satisfied. For a good buy and outstanding service on your family insurance, give your State Farm agent a call today.
And like a good neighbor,
nobody's bigger, nobody's bigger today.
Nobody's bigger in small cars than your good friend Chevrolet.
Folks are turning to the small Chevys, like Chevy Chevette, which outsells all other subcompacts, imports included. And Chevy Citation, which outsells every front-wheel drive. See them both at your Chevy dealers now.
Nobody's bigger in small cars.
The president's brother, Billy Carter, this morning began his testimony before the Senate subcommittee investigating his ties to the Libyan government. In his prepared statement, Carter told the senators he had committed no improprieties on the Libyans' behalf.
"I have not asked anything of Jimmy Carter or any U.S. government representative on behalf of the Libyan government or any agency or any representative thereof. Furthermore, the Libyans have not asked me to ask anything of the president or any representatives of the U.S. government. There have been no understandings, direct or implied, between the Libyan government and myself that I would seek to influence U.S. government policy. I did talk to my brother about the country of Libya. He has never been there, and we had family talks, just as you would tell a member of your family about a trip you may have taken to a foreign land. I never asked my brother to do anything for the benefit of Libya. I also know that he would not do it even if I had been foolish enough to try, which I wasn't."
Carter told the subcommittee the $220,000 he received from the Libyans was not a fee, as the Justice Department has determined, but rather part of a $500,000 loan. Stocks and other news after this.
Behind that blueberry face, under that chocolate chin, beneath the Gouda mess, the glop, and the watermelon grin, there's a beautiful child.
Take Wet Ones moist towelettes in the car to help you find your beautiful child beneath the mess of backseat snacking. Wherever you're driving, Wet Ones go where you go and clean better than anything dry.
Wet Ones, behind every messy face and hands, there's a beautiful child.
When young scholars need help with their schoolwork, give them help they can count on. Hi, Pat Summerall to suggest you send them back to school with sharp pocket calculators from True Value Hardware Stores, like the Go Anywhere Slimline Wallet Calculator with Notepad for just $9.99, or the Sharp Scientific Calculator designed for normal and scientific functions for $16.99. Both have easy-to-read 8-digit displays and 4-key accessible memories. When accuracy counts at school and at home, get a sharp pocket calculator from participating True Value Hardware Stores.
Off the Louisiana Gulf Coast early this morning, a gasoline tanker rammed an oil rig under construction and burst into flame. All 39 crewmen aboard the ship were rescued. Firefighters are now staying clear, fearing a possible explosion. On Wall Street at this hour, the Dow Jones average is up 5.20. Volume on the big board, 22,100,000 shares. The Dow Jones Industrials stand at 950.51. Richard C. Hotelet, CBS News.